start the show. Rhythms high and rhythms low. Feel the vibe, let it flow. Bongo boys, here we go. Tapping drums fast and slow. The heartbeat's thumping in a row. Energy starts to grow. Bongo boys, steal the show.
Hi, I'm Sandman with my co-host Jesh, and this is the Bongo Boys podcast, episode number one. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I'm still alive. That's always good.
What have you been up to?
Well, just hanging out with my girlfriend's family, and we played some pickleball today on the Texas courts, because if you didn't know, we're in Texas, or at least I am in Texas, and I got to play in a Texas court. You know, we don't want any other state court on here, but...
Is that something different? I don't understand. Or is it just because it's in Texas?
It's got a big old Texas flag on it, and you can play on it.
Are you being real, or are you messing with me?
I am 100% being real. Yes, it's called the Texas court.
Oh, okay, so it's literally, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's there are other normal courts, and then there's Texas court, because Texas, we're special down here. We got our own courts.
Yeah, no, I haven't forgotten that, I'll tell you what. anything else? What's up?
Well, yeah, I'm super tired. I didn't realize how not out of shape I was when I was playing pickleball, which is kind of surprising, you know, because I felt like I was really out of shape walking upstairs sometimes. But then I was playing pickleball, like, you know, I was in a pro game, so I felt special.
Oh, okay. So you're ready to go compete now.
Let's hold our horses there. that's where we draw the Texas line. We can't go beyond that.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's it. Just only on the Texas court is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and just me and the other people that I play against who are also at the same level as me. Anything beyond that is forbidden at this point.
Forbidden. So it's not just you don't want to do it. It's forbidden, illegal.
It's absolutely. I might get arrested, okay? And so, you know, I don't want that on that my bad. Track record. This is Texas, okay? If I get arrested, you know,
you probably had to do less to do that, but.
But yeah, I had a good time and got some food, hung out, and here we are. How are you, Josh?
I'm all right. Most of the same of my usual, which is just staying inside, working and playing games. Past couple of weeks taking care of the dogs. And then, in fact, last night, probably the most interesting thing of note is I played a session of Unbounded, which I would say for those who don't know, but there is not really anybody who knows, because it's me playtesting my sister's boyfriend's TTRPG. He's making his own. And it is a pretty drastically different system. I mean, with the same understandings as D&D, but it functions pretty differently. You basically don't use a D20 at all, which is fun. And one of the primary dice you're rolling is actually the D100. So I went and bought a D100 for that.
You know, that's a lot more than 20.
Yeah, it's almost five times more, you might say.
Yeah. I'm no math expert, but that seems a lot more than 20.
Yeah. And the way the system is built is intended to be a lot more around being freeform, hence the name Unbounded. Mm-hmm. And he has created an absurd number of what are in the game called lineages, which are your races, essentially.
Okay.
Ranging from who I played in the first playtest, which was a shrimp person, to elves and tieflings equivalents, as well as orcs. You've got pretty much every animal under the sun has some kind of human variant of it.
Uh-huh. Well, can we just go back to the shrimp person? I mean, I played a little bit of D&D, and this is a little bit different than D&D. What exactly is a shrimp person?
Yeah, so essentially all of the lineages in the game, to just kind of briefly go over this part first, are anthropomorphic to some extent. You can be mostly human-looking, and then with a little bit of whatever animal, whatever you are, or you can go all out, which is what I did with my shrimp. He's basically just a big shrimp with two legs and then hands. Okay. And specifically, he was a mantis shrimp, because my bit for this character was that he was punch-billed. He just punches the crap out of people. And so I just went, you have, I think there's like somewhere between 8 or 10 ability trees. I think it's 8. I think it's something along that. And then within each ability tree, you have a lot more variation in how you build your character. And you can essentially jump into any ability tree at any time, as long as you start from the beginning of one of the base trees. And so he was mostly just a warrior and his story was he came from a cult off an island, off of what was essentially a larger island where all of the demons reside.
Okay.
And his cult every year would send 1 to 3 pilgrims to go sacrifice themselves into a volcano to stop what was called the roiling. Which
the
essentially,
roiling?
Yeah, the coast off of their island would start boiling. And they'd have to go deep underwater to avoid it, essentially. And so he was that year's chosen pilgrim to go throw himself into a volcano. Which was great. That was a short form campaign, so that's finished. Mm-hmm. For anyone concerned, he was convinced not to throw himself into a volcano.
Okay, so he wasn't one of the pilgrims that ended up not living.
Correct, because he found enough information along the way to realize that actually didn't accomplish anything.
Did he punch the volcano?
No, so he actually never made it to the volcano. He got to the city right outside the volcano. However, he did punch a lot of jaws off. He started collecting those.
Just random jaws in a jar. Just
no, not even. He would string them onto the back of his backpack like a charm, almost.
Okay.
And it became a bit unintentionally, because the first place we landed when our group met, it got attacked by what were essentially revolutionists to some description. And so we had to fight our way out of that city. Okay. And my character was only built for combat, basically. He had no skills other than punch. So we go into combat and he just starts blasting people with his fists. Which is cool.
You know,
I punched a guy's jaw off in that on accident.
Did you take his jaw?
Not that one, no, because it hadn't become a bit yet. But then the next fight we got into, I managed to damage the other guy pretty heavily, and I was like, what if I do it again? And that's where the bit started.
You know, at this point, man, it doesn't sound like a bit. It just sounds like your guy just likes collecting jaws.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's not a bit to him. It's like him going, oh, this is stronger and stronger foe of a person he's beat. To me, it was a bit.
So he's just on a mission to collect.
That wasn't like his intent from the get-go. It was more of that was him finding some kind of function and purpose outside of just serving the cult, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Where it's his proof of becoming more powerful and actually having some kind of marketable skill other than go and dive into a volcano.
Okay, so he's not just some guy trying to collect dental records.
Yeah. He's not some chaotic evil murderer. He would only attack when threatened or if he felt like he needed to protect somebody. But
okay. And then he punched.
And then he punched. And when he punched good. He was a beast. And so he still lives to this day. In fact,
nice.
That was a prequel to the main campaign that I was invited to join in on, because I was brought in because I'm not a huge TTRPG player prior to this. I've been interested, but finding a group for that is hard. So it's interesting. Now I'm playing probably my most internally developed character, which is the Green Finger, who has become named Yerrick.
The Green Finger. Is it Yerrick, the Green Finger?
Yeah. It's like Yerrick, and then in quotes, the Green Finger.
The Green Finger. Okay, gotcha.
Correct. And really, he originally was just the Green Finger because he was a hermit and didn't talk to anybody. But the group that he has now joined said, you need a name, dude. Like, you can't just... you can't just introduce yourself as the Green Finger. People look at you funny.
There's got to be some, like, backstory to it, right? It'd be like... I'm just the Green Finger, but like, why though, you know?
And his backstory is kind of similarly modeled off of, for those who play League of Legends, Ivern.
Okay.
Where he essentially, in what was a past life, in quotes, was an awful fear-mongering mass murderer who eventually was captured and... Actually, in a one-shot campaign that we played to set up for the continuance of the main campaign, we had to fight him in his previous form, which was a big lion guy with chain weights, who had been touched by what was called a bygone, which is essentially your, like, Cthulhu... I can't think of the word right now, but you know what I'm talking about. That general mythos. Like it's not
like
Cthulhu,
an entity,
but...
Like a
Cthulhu-esque entity.
Yeah.
Who there's a number of bygones that are various different forms of fear, essentially. And so he was essentially ruled by one of those and just caused havoc, attacked cities, murdered a bunch of people. And so in the prequel, it's a different tree man, hundreds of years in the past, as far as main campaign is concerned, with two other characters who are relevant to the later story also, that end up defending a town because the past tree guy, Melmira, worked with the Guardians of the Lands, essentially, and came out and knew this guy was coming with what were called Bands of Restraint, which he then fastens to the guy once we beat him and tosses him off a cliff into the jungle.
Oh my God.
Okay. Where he falls, and then eventually a tree grows. And by eventually, actually, I think it was almost instantly a tree began growing because it was magical. And then, hundreds of years later, Yerrick emerges from the tree, essentially. The unfortunate thing is this magic has not worked properly. So, depending on certain scenarios, the previous guy can wake up and take control of Yerrick for a short period of time. So... It has happened once so far where we were in a fight and I did too much damage to a guy, and that's one of the triggers. And so I did enough damage to where all of a sudden this guy attempted to take over.
Yerrick.
And yeah, who attempted to take over Yerrick. And I think we matched level of success. And so he didn't get as many action points as he would have if he fully won over, but he was able to get a swing in at somebody who just barely dodged. However, that takeover happened to coincide with a fog rolling through, like completely unintentionally.
Okay.
Mechanically, it just happened in the fight that a fog came rolling in. So we're fighting a bunch of raptors, basically, if I remember correctly, like dinosaur raptors.
Yeah.
And in the jungle that we're in, an occasional fog comes rolling through. We're fighting. It's Yerrick, Eid, and Viri, which Eid and Viri are the other two players.
Okay.
Eid is a human kind of rogue-esque character. I don't know the exact build because I don't want to read into other people's bits.
Yeah.
It's more fun to just see what they do.
Of course.
And then Viri is a Fae blood with blood magic and various other types of support abilities. and they happen to just stumble upon me looking for a specific flower, and that's how we meet. And we get ambushed by raptors. And as we're fighting the raptors, I hit one of them and do a bit too much damage to where that triggers my negative perk, essentially. Okay. Where I then have to roll a resist mind control, basically. And hopefully succeed so that I don't start attacking people around me, because the guy from ages past just wants wanton murder and fear and misery.
Just go berserk. He doesn't care who he's hitting. Okay.
And so we're fighting. I hit one of them a little bit too hard, right as literally that turn, a fog had just rolled in. And so my next turn, while the fog is still there, they just hear a completely different voice come out of Yerrick, because Yerrick, being a big tree man, is like a, yes, hello, you know, this slow kind of talking.
Yeah.
Whereas the past is this deep southern drawl.
Oh, okay. All right, we're back in the Texas court. All right.
Kind of, yeah, because the area outside of this jungle is all desert.
Okay.
Whereas the jungle, the Rolling Gorge, is this small area. It's not actually small, but small relative.
Right.
Area where all of this plant life, and where you can find what are essentially dinosaurs and other things only there. So they hear that voice come out of the mist that they can't see through, and then an attack comes flying out from it at Eid. And he dodges it just barely, hears the voice, and he turns around. He's like, Green Finger, you okay? And immediately after, and Yerrick doesn't have any memory of this. He does not remember when he's mind controlled.
Okay.
So his response is just like, yeah, basically. He asks if he's okay. Yes, of course. I'm totally fine. You know what I mean? And confused. He doesn't understand why he's being asked, because he's just in the mist. You know what I mean? And so that's
like, fun. Thank you for the concern, but like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. And my build for this character is he is a friend of the forest, essentially. So the tree that I went down gives him the ability to have buddies. So almost like, if you think about in game term, like video game terms, like a beast trainer, beast master type character.
Okay, gotcha.
Where he has little buddies that he has fight with him and for him.
Yeah.
And I expected to plants, of course. And so I have had a sunflower, like a big sunflower that can bite or shoot seeds at people. I had a poison vineling, which is just like a ball of vines that moves around and can choke people out or poison them. And then I had a helicopter blade. You know the seeds that like launch themselves into the air and then float away?
Yeah.
That is another one of the plants that he created. So I have basically a set of three buddies that I could bring around, that I brought along with me at the start. That just absolutely destroy people. It's kind of hilarious. They're a little, when you have three of them, they're a little broken.
You know, after telling me all this plant stuff, I don't know if I want to eat a salad anymore. You know, that's
dude, they might fight back.
Scary plants, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, and the bladelet, dude, that thing was a beast. It, like, flies next to people, and then just starts blending them up, essentially. Slicing them up. And if you hit them, they hit back.
Just making human smoothies out there, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, or whatever else it comes in contact with. We fought plenty of things. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's interesting, and it's a fun creative exercise to get to roleplay and whatnot, which you can do in any system, but I enjoy his system mostly encouraging the freedom to just create who and whatever, and he has his own world that exists, so when I said the shrimp still lives, we are actually going somewhere that I have a feeling the shrimp is. And I think we're going to come across the shrimp and his buddy, the chef, in future sessions. Okay. Long in the future, because we actually just went to the Feywild, which is essentially a different dimension where the fairies are. And the
gotcha.
It's fairies, the there's the fungal creatures, and then something else is there also, and I cannot remember what it is. Because I am new to the lore, so I'm learning a lot of it.
Yeah, and then
but it's super fun.
You're testing it out and seeing what works, what doesn't work, and, you know, getting to be part of this at the ground level and kind of building it up. I think that sounds super cool.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to be able to give feedback and say, this feels good, this doesn't, this feels too good.
too good.
Yeah, which we also have a second set of characters that exist from, so my sister, her boyfriend, and one of their friends all have played together for a while. And so the main campaign that I'm joining is characters that they have had for a good while now. They've had a number of sessions with those characters. Okay. Whether they were in Unbounded or not, they originally were playing D&D and then they shuffled their stuff over to Unbounded and just kind of made equivalents. So that they could start testing that at higher levels. And then they have their second set of characters, which are even older characters that are essentially max level and Unbounded now, that they've converted them to. And so I had to create a character for that group who is essentially polar opposite to Yerrick. His name's Hulk Davies. He has a Cockney accent. And he is, if you took an angrier version of both Spider-Man and Green Arrow and combined them.
Okay.
And also he's like 2.5 feet tall. And he's like 2.5 feet tall.
You know, you had me at Spider-Man and Green Arrow, and then you hit me on the 2.5 feet tall part.
Who, mind, in that party, there is, he's not a giant, but he's like a giant kin, so he's a human-giant combination, who base is like, I think, somewhere between 7 and 8 feet tall, and then has an ability that makes him go full giant mode, where he becomes like 17 feet tall.
That is absolutely
scary. So you have this giga guy and then 2 foot tall man who does not like being called short and will fight you if you call him short.
I did not realize you had met my sleep paralysis demon.
Basically, yeah. Along with our third person who is basically the head of the group because the big guy and Hulk are just chaotic nuisances, who's also short. The other character, the third character, is also short, but with more of a head on their shoulders.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to be a lot other than the head that's going on there, huh? With 2.5
Yeah, well, yeah, because Solomon, the big guy, is essentially a big toddler. As far as how he interacts with the world.
Okay.
He's a big toddler who tries to protect any small people, as he deems it, and really likes fighting. Because he's a big, beefy warrior with a giant sword. And I mean huge. And then Hulk Davies, who is just another chaotic individual in different ways, in that he's always trying to scrap, cause a problem, and he is a an arcane archer, so the reason Green Arrow is involved is because he gets to fire a bunch of different funny arrows, basically.
What kind of arrows?
So my favorite, and this is where beyond personality, where the Spider-Man part comes in, he is a tethering shot that he can fire and grab onto and swing around.
Okay.
He has a ricochet arrow, which I used in the session before last. We had to fight a big undead horde. And I mean, literally could just tear through because that gets 3 bounces apiece and I could attack 3 or 4 times a turn. So I used a couple charges of my arcane arrows and I took out like 10 guys or 9 or 10 guys because it just bouncing between all of them and doing a bunch of damage. He's got ones that knock people down, ones that disarm them, all kinds of stuff. And I haven't used all of them yet because I've only played him in one session so far.
Right, yeah.
And but he has
Bunch of...
Yes. On top of the type of halfling that he is, he basically doesn't take fall damage.
okay.
So the bit... Like a cat. Yes, he doesn't take fall damage, and he does more damage the higher up he is over his opponents, maxing out at like 100 feet. So if he's 100 feet up, he's doing an extra 10 damage per hit, basically, on the first hit.
Okay.
And so him and Solomon have come up with a move where if there's ever a tall anything nearby, like a cliff face or whatever, Solomon, when he's in big mode, can literally throw him 100 feet up in the air. So they just fastball special him up to the top of a cliff face, and then he can just start pelting people down. And then when he wants to come down, he doesn't do anything fancy. He just hops down, and he doesn't care because he just lands on his 2 feet and takes like 2 damage and walks away.
You know, if I saw him up in the air just destroying everybody around me, if I was undead, I wish I would be dead at that point.
Oh, yeah. No, they were very dead. It was for between... So, and those three characters are essentially max level, and they actually met our main campaign characters who are not max level. They're level 12, 13, and max level is kind of essentially 20, but the actual level stops at 15, and then you get prestige levels after that.
Yeah.
And so, basically, we go through and meet them, and they're way more powerful than our main campaign characters, and are just doing some ridiculous stuff. But it's a lot of fun, basically. There's a lot that could be gone into, but then I'm just going to be describing every little detail and goofy interaction.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. That sounds super cool and awesome that, you know, you got to be part of it. And, you know, hopefully we hear more about it in the future and how your sessions go between the shrimp guy, the green finger, and the two small big giants.
Oh, yeah. There'll be more, I'm sure. We just entered the Feywilds, and that's going to be an experience, especially for Yerrick, who never left his home in the jungle. So all of this is new to him. He knows of things because he's read plenty of books.
Yeah, but he's like,
he hasn't experienced
100 years past.
Yeah, he's been around for a long while, but he doesn't have any memories from his prior self, or at least not mostly. His nightmares every so often, but other than that, he doesn't remember anything. All he knows is he woke up in a tree and was like, "Well, I've time to start planting and reading and just kind of hanging out."
Yeah, just be a friend of the forest, like you said.
Yeah, and so we played that till like 1 in the morning, and then I went to bed, and then woke up at 8 in the morning to watch Worlds, because God forbid I actually sleep.
you know, it's just one of those times of the year where League of Legends Worlds is happening, and this is very fun and interesting times, and, you know, us... Yeah, people here in North America have a Hopium going on, and we love to see our teams try to beat the gods of League of Legends. You know, because we entered the big boy arenas and show what we're capable of. But, you know, even though we
get, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're definitely showing what we're capable of and not just choking every game.
Yeah, well, you know, they played last week, so the three American teams that came to Worlds were 100 Thieves, Team Liquid, and FlyQuest. Unfortunately, 100 Thieves, even though we really wanted them to do well, did get knocked out last week. You know, they tried their best, and they got a, you know, new roster. They're building that team.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
I think we know, and they know, that they weren't even necessarily expecting to go to Worlds. You know, they beat Cloud9 because Cloud9 just literally mental boomed. I don't know what happened to that team. And so, I don't know that they were truly ready to go to Worlds. I think it sucks a little bit because, obviously, and justifiably so, they're going to get flamed for not making it out of play-ins.
Right.
Mostly because they couldn't beat the LLA team. I think if they had just beat the LLA team, they would have been fine. I actually think them losing to PSG is understandable, because I think PSG actually is pretty good.
Yeah, they're
at least, well, they weren't. They weren't when the play-in started good, because they just decided they didn't want to adjust to the meta. But they were good. They've been ramping up. Well, until today.
when we
taught them a lesson.
We're going to take that. We're going to take them not vamping up today just because it benefits North America.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, it's kind of revenge because FlyQuest got knocked out by PSG and play-ins at MSI.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that is true. They got their payback. And now we're looking at the brackets. We've got games tomorrow. The other NA team gets to play. Team Liquid's going to play Pain Gaming. And there's no way they lose that for sure. Definitely. 100%. They won't disappoint us.
No. You know, I wish you wouldn't have said that because, you know, and the chances of them losing now have exponentially gone up and I will only have you to blame for it.
Dude, if me saying that is all that causes it, then, I mean, we were screwed from the offset. Because I definitely expected or had Hopium and put in my pickems that they were going to get out. Both teams were going to get out into playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, any NA fan knows you don't get your hopes up because we're more than likely going to get disappointed. But it's when we don't have hope is when they tend to shine. And obviously the hope here is that we win, but I'm pretty much ready to get disappointed as well. But for a team like Liquid's hope, because I really do like their team, and I think they have a great roster, which can beat some of the bigger teams if they just don't int their game.
You mean if they don't troll in the last 10 minutes of the game and then lose to two teams in a row?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like they're winning. Oh, nope, we did that one thing, and now we lost the game. Go next, I guess.
Yeah. If they lose here, it's a disaster. I think if they 0-3 out of Swiss stage, that is a major disappointment for that roster, especially with how they've been performing the year or in the year prior, with almost beating T1 at the EWC, performing pretty well, obviously, internally in NA. It would be a big disappointment if they 0-3, especially losing to Pain, which... certainly it won't happen. I won't believe it. Not in a best of three. In a best of one, I would be more concerned. But it's a best of three. There's no way they would lose to Pain.
All right. Hopium is full on
going. Dude, I've been Hopium the whole time.
It's being pumped into our bodies right now.
I have had Hopium in my veins for the past like 2 weeks.
You know,
I had to up the dosage after 100 Thieves lost.
You know, 100 Thieves lost so that we could have more Hopium for the rest of the two teams. You know, I think 100 Thieves bit the bullet here so that we could use our remaining supply of Hopium for the other two teams.
Exactly. Well, that's why the dosage got increased in my mind. It's a ritual sacrifice. They had to lose to PSG so that no one else would lose to PSG or any other minor region.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that Team Liquid shows up tomorrow, because I was watching Kdrill the other day, you know, because I watch Kdrill when Worlds happens, and there's an emote his chat was spamming, and it's literally Team Liquid Appa saying you're not good, and they have named that emote Yappa, and I'm just waiting for Yappa to come online and type. I want him to just pause in the middle of the game and start typing, because you know his character will stop, and you know he's typing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
NA fans are looking for. You know, we need Yappa to come online.
If there was any game he was going to type in, I think this would be one of them. Other than maybe European teams, because I imagine probably Pain at least speaks a bit more English than any of the Eastern teams. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to try that strategy, this is the time. Now I'm calling it a strategy because, you know, he wants to get in their heads, but we'll see. I think maybe he's been trying to be a bit more respectful in game. But we'll talk all the trash outside of game, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah. I want him to feel like he can do it. He needs this win to get back into his normal self, and he does best when he's Yappa.
I agree. I also think that if they can win from here out because they have to. They have to win best. They have to play best of threes from here out. Yeah. And if they make it in, that's possibly up to 9 games that they will have played, not including the 2 before that. Yeah. So they get the most games going into playoffs, which I think would be huge as far as practice and stage games is concerned. Because if we've learned anything from this year and previous years, usually if you go through the loser's bracket, it does something to you.
Come online.
I think Hanwha did it, if I remember correctly. FlyQuest did it, Summer Split. TL did it, Spring Split. Didn't happen in China because BLG was dominating and then lost T1 today. LCK's fourth seed, but also it's T1.
Hey, it's Faker, man. Like, it's Faker.
Dude, it's happening again. That's what I'm worried about. I like T1, as everyone does. I support Faker individually. But I would really prefer it if we didn't have another two-peat for T1 again. But we'll see.
You know, I haven't seen that T1 documentary. Have you heard about that?
I've heard about it. I've not watched it.
Yeah, apparently people start crying when his dad's like talking about, you know, Faker going through some stuff while dealing with, you know, trying to be the best player in the world. And I don't know why. Part of me is just like, just let him have it, and then he can just go down as the best player ever. Obviously, Yappa will get to Faker levels, Hopium. And he just gets this win and, you know, retires and is just the old man Faker. And people are like, yeah, back in my day, Faker was the GOAT of League of Legends, which he still is right now. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of doubters. So many people doubted him, especially at Worlds last year. People were doubting the crap out of T1. And I think Faker, like TL going through losers brackets, something comes online when he needs to, and he pulled something out of thin air, and you're like, you know what? That's why they call him Faker. You know, this is why he's the GOAT, because you didn't expect it, but he did it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't want the two-peat, not anything against them, but because I think it would be good to have other people win. That's why I also have Hopium for NA and then maybe G2, I guess. All of EU. all of EU is G2. Fnatic and Mad Lions just are nothing. I mean, they just don't look great. But it just would hurt to be like, oh yeah, T1 just showed up again and won again. And now they've won, at that point, what, 5 world championships of the, what is it, 12, I think? Yeah, somewhere between, yeah, like 10 and 12, or
somewhere
like
there, yeah.
12 or
yeah.
14. And it's not half, but it's pretty close, to be honest. So just, you know, like, Hanwha winning would be cool. Really, any team winning would be cool. You know, if NA could just like wake up and play the game and not in at the end of the day, they still wouldn't win, but I can believe.
Hopium, you know, we're all high on Hopium right now.
Yeah. But I just think it makes it even harder when Faker eventually then retires if he wins another one now, if that makes sense. Like, he's already the greatest player of all time. I don't think he'll ever be surpassed unless this game exists for, or professionally exists for 10, 15 more years. Then maybe he will be surpassed. But even then, that means within those 10 to 15 years, someone has to win for 4 times. Bare minimum to be even equal to Faker, right?
Yeah.
And they can't win him. I mean, I guess winning him 4 times in a row would be pretty crazy. Maybe that would. I'm trying to think, because part of what makes Faker so good is that it's been over such an extended period of time. I mean, he won for the first time, what was it, 2012?
It was a long time ago. Let's just say Faker is considered geriatric in the League of Legends world.
Yeah. So,
like, he's using a walker to get to the computer.
Basically, yeah. And he can't even use the walker, right? Because his wrist is messed up.
You know what? They're just wheeling him in. They've got a wheelchair. It's got Faker on the back of it, and they're just wheeling him in.
Yep.
And like, here you go, Grandpa. And then there's no seat there. They just pull up his wheelchair to his computer. You know, yep. He takes his arthritis medicine right before he gets on.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. If they win, they deserve it. And that's impressive. But I would prefer literally anyone else to win.
I can see that. That's fair.
The health of interest in League of Legends competitively. But who knows? They've got changes coming to League, apparently, that are supposed to be crazy.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. There's a lot of rumors out there, and people have been throwing a lot of things out there that they might do. And we know there are changes coming, because Riot has confirmed this. There are changes coming.
Yeah.
But we don't know what exactly the changes are. And, you know, I think this is my wishful thinking. Okay. I would love to have more lanes and have more 1v1s. And so people just match up and then they can kind of bleed over into other lanes. That would be a crazy big change to League of Legends and would totally change the dynamic of the game, I think. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. That's kind of wishful thinking, like I said before. What do you think? What do you think would benefit the game in the future? Because they need to future-proof it. You know, there are more people, there are different generations on the game now.
I mean, I don't know. This is the honest answer. I don't know what the reasonable decision is. I know I've definitely seen the same thing about adding lanes and whatnot. And I'm okay with that, maybe. And by adding lanes, if they add one more, I'm okay with that. If they add any more than one lane, it's a disaster. Like, I think that makes the game a mess. I think any more than four is ridiculous.
So four lanes plus a jungler is okay.
I think that's reasonable. But it also could end up where there's not a jungler, or depending on what changes they make. It's so weird because we just don't know what direction they're trying to take. So all we've heard is from people who seem to have had information on it, say that they think League of Legends is back in 2025. And we don't know what that means. We don't know what they're changing to cause that. And I'm very curious to see it. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a game developer. I play games, but I am not minded in this. I don't have the mind for that, to come up with what the actual solution is. I don't know that adding lanes is the actual solution. It might be, I don't know, but
yeah,
I think definitely they've got to change something, because there's been a bit of, I don't know, it's just not felt as good.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah,
it's
kind of just there. It's nothing new. But, I mean, even if they didn't do the four lanes thing, if they just changed the map in a drastic way, I think, you know, that would bring some freshness to the game and definitely might draw more people, because a lot of people are going to get on, right? When Arcane comes out soon.
Oh, absolutely. In like a month, right?
So many people are going to get on. Yeah, it's going to be in, I think, almost exactly a month, or I might be wrong about that, but pretty soon. And all those people are going to like, well, I want to play League of Legends now. And hopefully when they get on, the changes, you know, are coming online and they get to play the new version of League 2.0.
We'll see. I don't think they're actually coming out until next year. Now, I will say we might be learning about them, because I think Arcane, starts in November?
Mm-hmm.
So we will probably be learning about the changes in November, I suspect. If I was to guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But if I was to guess, we'll probably start learning.
Preview.
Mm-hmm. Or it might even, in Worlds, like around Finals or something, they might unveil or give a teaser for what changes they're going to do. Because I think they've done something like that before. But, I mean, who knows? it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what changes they make and if it. I am hopeful that it doesn't just implode the game, even though probably not playing the game would be beneficial to my mental health.
I think it would be beneficial to all of our mental health to stop playing League of Legends. And it's nice to take a break from the game sometimes, you know, just to enjoy life, because sometimes League becomes life. And don't do that, kids. You know,
true. Yeah,
go get some fresh air, some sunlight, and touch some grass, and then you know you can reinstall League in a week.
Yeah, or more. You know, you can wait longer. It could be never.
You know, just never ever install it ever again if you care about your mental health. But
yeah, I didn't succeed in that. But you know, oh, go ahead.
It's okay. Worlds was about to start. You saw all these cool changes. Some of the champions you like to play kind of came back into rotation, and they got, you know, fun to play again.
Because those are definitely the champions I'm playing.
Yeah, you know, you obviously love it, all the champions. You know, you can't wait to become a Draven main again.
Oh God.
You know, speaking of Draven mains, so some of the changes that were thrown out. A lot of them were sort of, the rumor mill started when Tyler won, who, you know, we all know Tyler won, who he is. Big, big streamer.
Unfortunately, but, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, to each their own, right? Like, he provides entertainment for some people. For other people, he's the guy you report 9x in your games. Correct. But he complains about Riot all the time. He will literally complain about things Riot is doing or things in game that really bother him. And he is actually the one that came out with the video and said, you know what? I'm really excited about the changes Riot is making. And this is somebody who just always craps on Riot. And he's like, I'm really excited. And he said, this is not the old, like, obviously they're still there, but not the old League of Legends, like, you know, devs and people and artists, whoever have been making the game. There are new people coming in with fresh new ideas to kind of reinvigorate this game. And I think that gave me some hope that somebody who hated Riot so, so much, even though he's addicted to the game, is super excited about what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I agree 100%. Hearing him be excited about it gives me hope, even though I prefer not to hear from him ever, personally, because I just think he's too much. But, like, that does mean something, because if he's willing to say, hey, this actually means something, and this is going to be a major difference.
Right.
They've got to compete. I mean, I don't know. It's weird saying League has to compete with, like, the game market, because I'm pretty sure they're still the largest out of any MOBAs. But, you know, Deadlock came out. It sounds like people are having a lot of fun with that. We'll see if that survives the alpha beta phase as far as keeping player base is concerned. I mean, we've played a bit of it, but we play it maybe once a week. And then we go back to playing League of Legends again.
Yeah. Because we're at kids.
Yeah.
Uninstall League, right?
Dude, world content started coming out. I felt the itch. Like, give me back. Gotta get another hit.
And, you know, gotta click play to get that dopamine hit.
Basically, yeah. But we'll see. I bare minimum, I'm excited just because they're changing things. I think a lot of people think they just shouldn't touch things, and that frustrates me. I'm like, no, they should just keep trying stuff. They have to have the game evolve.
Yeah, or else, exactly.
You know, no one's
gonna
want
to stale.
Keep playing. Stale. Yeah, it'll get stale.
And especially for people that have been playing since the start of League of Legends, like, they've changed things so much. They have changed the map. They've changed, you know, jungle camps, Baron and dragons, and items are totally different. They brought some of them back because people really wanted them. But everything is so different. Like, if you go back and watch season one videos, it's like you're in a different universe, because you're like, that's not League of Legends, because there's no way, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know that it's quite that drastic, because you look at it and you go, oh, this is League of Legends 1, and we're now playing League of Legends 2.
Yeah.
And then, like, one champion comes out and you look at that champion and go, oh, wait, maybe we're still playing League of Legends 1. Teemo was a good example of that until, I don't know if it's coming out this week, but they're putting his VGU update.
I did see that.
Like has legs and walks like a normal creature instead of waddling back and forth like a penguin.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that. I hope they leave his last name, because even though I despise Teemo players because they always play against me in top lane, I hope they do him justice and keep his laugh in, because I feel like the laugh was pretty much part of his whole persona.
Yeah, I mean, I know, to me, visually, I think they've done him justice. It looks really good. As far as any of the voice lines and stuff, I have no idea. I haven't paid that much attention. I know I saw people complaining that they changed his lore, but I didn't really know Teemo lore to begin with, because I look at Teemo and I don't care.
he was some scout guy. He was an Eagle Scout, apparently, or something. I don't know. I haven't read the lore.
Yeah, there's other lores I have read, and Teemo isn't one of them.
You know,
but
I hope they don't change him too much, because I still can't forgive Riot for taking Ding Ding away on Knockout Lee Sin. That Ding Ding brought so much joy to everyone around the world, but there's no Ding Ding, and there's only sadness now. When you press,
if not around the world, bare minimum our friend group.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen people so depressed after they took the Ding Ding away. I didn't even know. We really told you about it, that they took the Ding Ding away.
Because I don't play Lee Sin very often.
It's one of the most disappointing news to come out of League of Legends. Even though they brought back the honor system, and you can honor enemies, which I think is a fair and cool thing to bring back. But taking Ding Ding away, I don't think I could forgive Riot ever for that.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to commit that hard with you. I think you can walk out on that.
You don't play the Ding Ding. You weren't.
I play them occasionally. I used to play them a lot.
Yeah, but then you didn't Ding Ding like I Ding Ding, you know?
But then you... But then, you know, I got condemned to the 80 carry role, so I'm down there with no agency.
If you really want to bring that back, you know, Lee Sin and Taric bot lane apparently is a thing now.
Yeah, but I would not be the one playing Lee Sin in that bot lane.
That's true. You would be one playing Taric, and you know, you love Taric.
Correct. Yeah, I would be the Taric. Yeah. Yeah. I would. No, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I guess we'll find out what kind of changes we're making. Because, you know, you threw out that Galio top is obviously, as we saw in the game earlier, if you caught
today.
The G2 game. Yeah, G2 versus Weibo, Galio top was disgusting. Not that just because Broken Blade was playing it was actually kind of disgusting, because they could not kill the man, and it took them ages just to try to kill him, and then he would one-shot everybody, even though he was taking.
Yeah, I mean, which, by the end of it, he definitely wasn't one-shotting people, but he was able to pull so many people off, and it turns out, if you pick the magic resist champion into a magic champion, when he just got buffed to be more of the magic resist than damage, you kind of win. It's weird how that works.
Huh? Yeah,
yeah. Who would have guessed? I mean, given this is, it wasn't to post nerf Rumble. I'm sure Rumble a patch ago as of the world patch, not a patch ago as of our patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
probably still would have absolutely destroyed him, because that Rumble was giga broken. But
yeah,
you know. It's one of those things where I'm curious to see if Galio gets picked a little bit more into stuff like the Aurora or other Aurora. AP top laners, minus probably Gwyn. I'm sure you don't want to play Galio into Gwyn. Yeah. I don't know. I don't play top lane, but I imagine you don't want to play Galio into Gwyn.
Probably not.
Because I don't think
just cut through. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think you want to play any tank into Gwyn. Although I don't know. I don't play that role. But it makes me a little sad. Just because I remember the mid lane Galio. And just being a menace.
I remember Galio when he was this disgusting looking gargoyle on top of some cathedral. And you could send wind out from your queue. And you get movement speed buff. And then you just flash ulti everybody. And then they get stuck in this doom... the Dome of Death, and they just die.
Yeah, well, I remember. That was your you were like a one trick.
Yeah,
basically. And then you just only played the Galio.
They changed my guy. And not that I don't like this Galio. I think it's pretty cool.
But you don't, though.
With him. He's not the same, you know? Like, he's not. Yeah. This is the same as taking Ding Ding away, okay? This is the same level of frustration for me. Is taking Ding Ding away was taking is cutting Galio's wings down and making him this.
Aren't his wings better now since he can fly across the map?
Yeah, but you know, I like he used to fly with his wings instead of just putting them on display like he's Buzz Lightyear. But
and
I'm
then flying up into the air and hitting the ground and.
Yeah, he just uses rockets for that. But. His wings felt much better.
Yeah.
Before. And, you know, whatever, I changed it because they hit Galio players. But
I mean, how long ago was that?
It was not too long ago, okay? I still cry about it sometimes at night.
Maybe it is too long ago and you did not cry about it anymore.
Well, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Well, the last thing maybe we want to touch on is Silent Hill 2 Remake that just came out. What are your thoughts on that, Josh?
Well, I don't have any thoughts yet because I haven't played it yet. But I'm
yeah. So a lot of people I saw were online playing it because they pre-ordered it. Which, I mean, good for you if you have that kind of cash lying around. But apparently, the reviews that came in were good.
Okay, that's good to hear. I mean, I'm a big survival horror person.
Yeah.
I'm a Resident Evil guy through and through. Yeah. Silent Hill, Dead Space, all of the above.
Yeah,
Fatal Frame even. I am very curious to see if it comes out and is of similar quality because this absolutely got spurred by Resident Evil doing this. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm curious to see what comes out of it and if it ends up being really solid and if it's one of those they literally just put the game in new graphics or if they do more of what Resident Evil is doing, which is kind of reworking the game itself.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll be finding out in 2 days.
You know, Pyramid Head, we can all look forward to him.
Yeah, look forward to is one way you could put that.
Well, you can look at him too. Just don't look at him for too long.
Yeah, that's my concern. I'm sure he'll be a menace. As he should be, of course.
Yeah, he's Pyramid Head, you know. He's got a pyramid on his head. What else can you expect from him?
I mean, normally if someone had a pyramid on their head with no visible eyes, I would think they'd just be walking into walls. But
You know. You got a point there, but you know he's got the pyramid on his head, and apparently he knows exactly where we are. And he loves shopping around. He loves looking at mannequins. But try not to look at them too long because he will get upset.
This is true.
Yeah, it's a game mechanic. If you have never played Silent Hill, he doesn't like you watching whatever he does. Oogling. We're not gonna Oogling. Say what he does. but if you're looking at him, he's gonna get mad because you know he is a very private person. He literally is wearing a pyramid head. He does not want you to see what he looks like. But if you're gonna be a weirdo and stare at him, you know he's gonna come try to hunt you down.
Yes, sir. But, yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited for it tentatively.
Yeah.
I don't know if I truly believe, but I mean, we've had two other series come out with some good ones, so hopefully Silent Hill could be done some justice, especially since it should lead into they're making a new, like a properly new Silent Hill as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully it leads into that being good as well. And maybe we can have more of a resurgence of survival horror, because then I'd be eating good.
Yeah, and Josh would definitely be very happy playing all those games, because he really liked some of the new Resident Evils that came out with the way they did it, and they did it them justice, because he's played all of them before, so he knows what the OG Resident Evil fans like and love.
And they mostly did them justice. Maybe not 3 as well, but I still think 3 was solid. It's just...
We don't talk about it. And we definitely don't talk about Raccoon City, so...
Well, yeah, and many descriptions of Raccoon City.
Yeah, that's just one you can just forget about that it exists. It's kind of like, you know, the some of the movies that come out, and you're just like, yeah, we don't talk about that because those don't exist. And it's true. It's just one of them. But, you know, a lot of games are coming out, a lot of cool games. And, you know, it's spooky season, so hopefully...
It is spooky season.
A lot of these horror games are, you know, fun and exciting to play, so more people can get into them. And, you know, we have good games just to play and enjoy. And for those horror fans, it'll be an exciting month coming up.
I agree.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah.
You know, we touched on a lot of topics there. As it seems like a good conversation there about a variety of topics. But thank you for tuning in to our first podcast. We appreciate it. Stay tuned for our next episodes. Hopefully more and more, many, many, many to come. But we'll try to keep people updated with how those are coming along. Thank you for listening in. I am Sandman, your co-host, and this is...
And I'm Jess.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Bongo Boys podcast number one. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks.
Later.
Later.